Luke chapter 2 and beginning at verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the Christmas season. God, I know we should have Christmas season 365 days a year. But God, it's just a special time. And Lord, I pray that we would honor you in our lives and our actions this year. I pray through the preaching of the Word of God today that you would help us to accomplish that. God, speak to us today. Help us to be better Christians and to honor you more. Now, Father, for this task to be accomplished, I pray that you would anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power as he comes and preaches. Use him today to help us. And, Father, also use him today if there's somebody in this room that does not know about this Jesus that came to die on the cross for them, that today they'd get the matter settled and get saved so they can go to heaven. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'm going to ask you now to make sure your cell phone is turned off. Last week, I think we had one go off. No sooner did I say that, somebody's cell phone went off in the service. We had their funeral on Tuesday, and we were going to miss them. We don't want to miss you, so make sure your cell phone goes off, turned to off or to vibrate so it doesn't go off. So check it right now. Make sure inevitably someone thinks, first of all, who's calling you when you're in church? Telemarketers. So you don't want that anyway. So just turn it off or to vibrate. We would appreciate that. I'm going to ask that you sit very still now and listen very carefully for a moment. It is the Christmas season. Do you realize, if you read the account of the Christmas story in the Bible, Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and Luke chapter 1 and 2, if you read those very carefully, there are so many interesting details about Christ coming and being born. A lot of interesting stuff. The wise men who come from the east, shepherds in the fields by night. The fact that Joseph and Mary come and she's great with child and she's about to be delivered and they can't find a place to stay. Chased out of their homes by the IRS. No, just kidding. But taxes, and they had to come to Bethlehem, Joseph's hometown, to pay their taxes. And there's nowhere for them to stay. And the Bible makes that great statement that always sticks in my heart. I don't know about you, when it says there was no room for them in the inn. Maybe there was just one place to stay in Bethlehem if you didn't live in someone's house. And that one place was jammed. And so they have to stay in a stable in the back. Jesus is born that night, wraps him in swaddling clothes and lays him in a manger, which is a feeding trough. The Son of God, King of kings, Lord of lords, comes to this earth to pay for our sins. And he has to be born in a barn and laid in a manger, and wrapped in beggar's rags. And we're going to talk about the swaddling clothes this morning. There's just the star in the east, all the things in the Christmas story. I hope that you'll pay some attention to that during this time. I hope you don't miss the real purpose of what Christmas is about. The old expression, Jesus is the reason for the season, needs to be in our minds today. But in all the details, I'm going to pull one thing out and talk about the twice mentioned swaddling clothes here in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. It says in verse number 7, now look at it again with me this morning, please. It says here, follow carefully. And she brought forth, verse 7, Luke 2, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. angels speaking to the shepherds in the fields. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Listen, those swaddling clothes became an indicator to the shepherds. The Lord told those shepherds, now you go into the city and you look in a stable, and shepherds are familiar with that, stables, you know. You look in a stable, you're going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Those swaddling clothes became an indicator to them, not only that that was the Savior of the world, but it indicated something about Him, that little baby, wrapped in those swaddling clothes. Now, you know, for centuries, babies have been swaddled. That simply means wrapped very tightly. Sometimes they use a blanket or a piece of material of some kind. In some cultures, the swaddling clothes were strips of cast-off clothing that poor people had. And they didn't have the money to buy a blanket or a nice garment of some kind. So they took old cast-off clothes they had and cut them into long strips, and they used those to wrap their babies in. But the idea was to wrap them tightly, give them the impression they're still in the womb, give them the comfort, security. But when a baby is found in a stable, lying in a feeding trough, and wrapped in the cast-off clothing and garments of his family, it says an awful lot about who that baby is, where he came from, what he's here to do, and what he is about to give you. The swaddling clothes indicate a lot to us to this day, 2,000 years later. I learned something about swaddling clothes this week. Thank God for Google. I don't know who that guy is, but thank God for Google. I learned a few things about swaddling clothes I'm going to bring into the message to you today. But understand this. They're an indicator of something about who Jesus is, that little baby lying there. First of all, it's an indicator of his poverty. The swaddling clothes that in which Jesus was wrapped were from humble people, simple folks. And those swaddling clothes in which he was wrapped indicated he was to be born of poverty and into poverty, as it were. It means Jesus had given up so much to come to be with us. Ladies and gentlemen, one more time, please don't miss it. Jesus Christ is God the Son. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. God the Son came and was born of a virgin. He does not come to a palace. He doesn't come to the wealthiest house in town. Jesus is born in a stable, and the clothing he must take upon himself are poor man's clothing, cast off clothes, as it were. And he is to be wrapped in these swaddling clothes. It indicates his poverty. Not just that he would be born to a poor family, but it indicates what Jesus gave up to be born into this life. We must understand and always remember something. Christmas isn't really the birthday of Jesus Christ. It was the day he was born, no question. If you celebrate the birth of Christ in a birthday sense, that's perfectly all right. Nothing wrong with that. But let's not lose this now. You and I didn't exist before the day you were born. I'm sorry, any doctrine or religion that teaches pre-existence of the soul is incorrect. You didn't come into existence until you were conceived in your mother's womb. That's at conception is when life begins. And you were conceived, and when you were conceived in your mother's womb, that's when your life began. And then 9 months of carrying that baby in the womb, that child is born. Jesus didn't start to exist in his mother's womb. Jesus existed before that. He existed as God the Son, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, equal yet separate. Three persons, one God. But know this, Jesus Christ was God before he came to this earth. And what he did, ladies and gentlemen, see, the real Christmas story is in Philippians chapter 2. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. It means Jesus set aside his privileges and his rights as God of heaven. As Jesus Christ, God the Son, creator of everything, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made, the Bible says. That's Jesus in John chapter 1. He, Jesus, wrapped in swaddling clothes, it indicates that he gave up so much to come to this earth so he could be our Savior. Now you think about that for a moment, my friend. Let's not think about a baby in a manger. Let's think about God who impoverished himself and was willing to set aside all his rights. He didn't stop being God when he became to this earth, but he set aside the privileges of God. You say, oh no, Pastor, wait a minute. Jesus performed miracles when he walked this earth. He performed those miracles as the God-man, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. What Jesus did when he walked this earth that was miraculous was not attributed to his godhood. It was attributed to the fact that he never sinned and had the Spirit of God on him like no man ever walked this earth, dear people. Swaddling clothes indicate poverty. Shepherds, shepherds, you go there, you'll find him lying in a manger and he's wrapped in poor man's rags. That's where you'll find him, because I want you to remember this is what Jesus gave up for you. Now you remember that, friend, next time you think he's asking too much of you. You remember that next time you think that you have to set aside a few of your rights and privileges for you to do what he asks you to do. You remember that no one's ever been asked to give up heaven. No one's ever been asked to give up a throne. No one's ever been asked to set aside their privileges and all their rights and privileges. No one has ever been asked what Jesus was asked to do, and he willingly did it, my friend, willingly took upon those rags of humanity so he could be what you needed him to be. See, those swaddling clothes, they're indicators. They're indicators of his poverty. By the way, and they swaddle babies, they wrap them tightly because they have the reflex, and sometimes they'll wake themselves up because of the way. So they wrap them tightly to limit their conduct or their behavior, if you want to call it that way. Those swaddling clothes are a picture of Christ's humanity, how he was willing to limit himself. You understand, he would know hunger. He would know discouragement. He would know times in his life for being forsaken. He would come into his own, and his own would receive him not. Those swaddling clothes, my friend, are a picture of how Christ was willing to limit himself to be what you needed him to be. Don't you see? When they were told that night in the fields, the shepherds, you'll find that baby in the swaddling clothes. There were indicators of who Jesus was, what he had given up for us. What a wonderful Savior. What an amazing thought today, that he loved you enough to set aside all of that just to be what you needed him to be your Savior, to be the example of your life once you get saved. All of that because he set aside his rights and privileges. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sorry, but I'm sick and tired of a nation that is awash in their own personal rights. Everybody has to have their rights. Now, if you're a homosexual, you have to have the right to be openly homosexual in the military in the United States of America. We have a Congress that hasn't got the sense not to know any better than that kind of stuff. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be honest with you. See, don't they have their rights? Everyone has their rights, but not in sacrifice of everybody else's rights in the process. I'm sorry, but I served my country in the military. I would not be comfortable with somebody openly practicing the homosexuality when I'm trying to serve my country in the military. I'm sorry, but I don't agree with that. You know, the truth of the matter is we live in a nation today that if you don't get your rights, everybody's screaming their head off about their rights. Look at that babe in the swaddling clothes. He gave up all of his rights just for you. We wouldn't have a Savior, and we would not have the Son of God on the cross if he wasn't willing to set aside his rights for you and me. See, those swaddling clothes are an indicator of his poverty. He who was rich became poor for us. Swaddling clothes are an indicator that he had a plan too, my friend. Listen now, swaddling clothes were by and large made up of the cast-off clothing, especially of the poor, made of the cast-off clothing. Now, if you've ever been poor in your life before, you know that by the time you wear clothes out, there isn't much left. I don't know if they still do it anymore or not. It's probably illegal to do hand-me-down clothes where I was the youngest in the family. And just speaking humbly, the best one of the three. I mean, I'm just being humble about it. Truthful, but humble. The younger one is always, the younger one gets the benefit of all the stuff the older ones pass up. And that's why the youngest is the best. Can I get an amen from the youngest? It's true. Our character is refined and sharpened, and our conduct is improved greatly. But when I grew up, you got hand-me-down clothes. Now, fortunately, my brother was only 2 years older than me. And for a long time, people thought we were twins. We looked so much alike. Even though he has always been skinny, and I have always been healthy. That's the way to use it, bro. Healthy. And at Christmas, I'm getting really healthy. I get any more healthy, I'm gonna be bulletproof. But anyway, the truth is, I got his hand-me-down clothes. Swaddling clothes were hand-me-downs. Jesus took upon him, listen now, the rags of others. You know, in the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, it tells us this: all our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. In the days when leprosy was a death sentence, not knowing how it was transferred, they put all lepers in their own separate lifestyle and they had their own separate life completely. They literally had their own streams from which they drank. They lived in their own villages. They had their own walking paths. You did not get around people who had leprosy in those days. And leprosy at certain points of its disease breaks the skin, because you know it kills the nerves in the extremities at first, and then the flesh begins to rot and the extremities fall off, fingers, toes, eyes, etc. And at certain points of the disease, it breaks the skin and a pussy ooze stuff comes out. As lepers would walk down their paths, every so often there would be a post. And on that post would be a rag, and a leper would stop and wipe his ooze and his sores with that rag and then put it back on the post. And then the next leper who would come along, already had the same disease, would take the same rag and wipe himself with it and leave it on the post. And the Jews had an expression for the rag. They called it the filthy rag. To God, you trying to earn your way to heaven in His sight, in Isaiah 64, 6, is like the filthy rag. As much as it disgusts you to think that that would be something like that, that's how God looks at it, friend. What Jesus did in those swaddling clothes was He took upon you, on Himself, the rags of your humanity, your sin and mine. What we did that in the sight of God. See, we think we can wash up those rags and we can baptize those rags and we can get them all cleaned up and put on a suit, those rags, and take those rags to church and sit there with a Bible in our hand and do the do's and don't the don'ts and put our nickels in those little containers at the grocery stores to help little crippled children in our lives somehow or another. By doing good, we'll undo the bad we have done. And God says, no, all our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. But you and I must understand, Jesus took upon Him the swaddling clothes of our filthy rags to be the Savior of this world. Jesus died bearing the sin of our filthy righteousness. Don't hold your baptismal up to God. Don't talk to me about your life and how good it is. Talk to God today about the fact that we are sinners and we need a Savior. Those swaddling clothes indicate His plan. His plan was to come and take upon Himself the cast off of mankind. That's our lives. Well, I'm not a cast off, Pastor Johnson. I happen to be pretty successful in my life. I've got this figured out and that figured out, and I know what I'm going to do and I know where I'm going to go. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Doesn't make a difference if you live over here under the Clear Creek Bridge or you live in the biggest house in town. All our righteousness is in filthy rags in the sight of God. Understand, those swaddling clothes picture the plan. Jesus has come to take upon Himself the rags of mankind. You need a Savior today. I need a Savior today. And Jesus Christ in those swaddling clothes, it's a picture, it's a type, it's an indicator that Jesus had a plan when He came. And His plan was to take upon Himself. No works, my friend. Listen, if you're here this morning and you believe that your works, your actions, your behavior, your conduct has anything to do whatsoever with your standing with God, you need to come to Christ and be saved now. Today. This service right here, this morning, in this place, you need to repent and turn to Jesus Christ and trust Him for salvation. Salvation, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The truth of the matter is, friends, salvation is a wonderful, amazing gift. And you know why? Because Jesus took upon Him the rags of our humanity, our sin, our failures, our flaws, our wrong. And Jesus did that for us. Swaddling clothes also indicated what His purpose was. You know what I learned about swaddling clothes? Always I understood that swaddling clothes were the rags of the poor, cut into strips of cloth, etc. But in the culture where Jesus lived, and especially in the households of the Jews, in those days when they made journeys of any length, they understood that a vast majority of people who died in those days died making journeys. And so, if they died while on a journey, they didn't have the ability to embalm them and take them back home to bury them. They had to take care of them where they were. And so when someone went on a journey, now listen, when someone went on a journey, they took what they called swaddling clothes, which were strips of cloth, wrapped it around the abdomens, quite long in length, so that if something happened to them in their journey and they died, they'd taken wrapped them in the swaddling clothes that represented a picture of death on their journey. So if we understand this morning, here's what we understand about Jesus' swaddling clothes. They were either poor man's rags, cast off, or they were Joseph's death rags. They're on a journey, 80 miles it took from Joseph to get from Galilee, where he had Nazareth, to Bethlehem. 80-mile journey. Now, in our day and age, you can make 80 miles in an hour and a half or so, or less, depending on who you're riding with. And you get there, it's not that big of a deal. 80 miles on foot in those days took quite some time. So Joseph, no doubt Joseph had his swaddling rags in case something happened to him. They get to the main, they don't have a place to stay. So there's no way to protect this baby. So Joseph takes off his death rags, if you want to call them that, and wrapped that baby in the rags that Joseph had used in case something happened to him. Jesus came to take upon us the punishment of our sin, and Jesus came to take upon himself the death penalty that we owe to God. Look here. See, my friend, if you from this day to the rest of your life, you never sinned, you never did a wrong thing again, it still wouldn't pay for the penalty of the sins you've committed to this day. Do you understand this morning, friend? Look at me. Do you understand today that we are under the penalty and the condemnation of our sin? We have the death rags on this morning. Not only because of sin, but because of the penalty of that sin. And Jesus was wrapped in those swaddling clothes, Joseph's own, because if something were to happen to him, Joseph is saying, I'm trusting this one to make sure my death penalty is taken care of. He stepped in your place today, Jesus Christ has. He has stepped in your place and knowingly came. What amazes me about the whole thing about Christ coming, since he is God the Son, since he is preexistent, since the original copy of the Word of God, Psalm 119:89, so forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, since the original copy of the Bible is there and Jesus was there, he the living Word of God, the Bible, the written Word of God, since Jesus was there, knew all that the Word of God said and taught, Jesus Christ came to this earth knowing he would go to Calvary, knowing he would have to suffer the penalty for our sins, knowing he would have to take the punishment of death upon himself, dying, paying that sin penalty. He knew it and he came anyway. Jesus was swaddled. Maybe it was Joseph's death rags. I have no idea, but I know this. Joseph was putting his hope for eternal life upon a babe in a manger who would become a man, who would live a sinless life, who would die upon the cross, who would rise again 3 days later. And the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, my friend, is the gift of God that's eternal life. And Joseph's hope for eternal life was upon Jesus Christ. Is that you today? Clearly and quite simply, your hope for eternal life, is it based upon the fact that you have trusted Christ as your Savior, putting your only hope of salvation upon him, that he bore your death penalty for you as he did for me and all mankind? But listen now, have you made a definite and distinct decision to trust that Savior for your salvation? Joseph, I believe, was giving his hope to Christ. That's where our hope needs to be this morning, upon the Lord Jesus Christ today, swaddled in death rags. Oh, one more thing. Those death rags would also indicate, my friend, his prospects. Don't forget the king in the rags. Don't lose him now. Don't lose a baby in a manger. Don't lose the King of kings and Lord of lords, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Don't lose him there. Don't just look at him and say, oh yeah, that's the story about Jesus and he was a baby. And yes, it was about Jesus and yes, he was a baby. And yes, he was in swaddling clothes and yes, he lay in a manger. And yes, it's a stable. And yes, it was poor man's rags. And yes, it was death rags. And yes, all of that. But don't forget something, my friend, this morning. He in swaddling clothes is still King of kings and Lord of lords. He will be born of a virgin. He will live a sinless life. He will go to the cross. He will die again. He will rise from the grave. He will ascend back to heaven. And one day Jesus Christ will rule and reign from this earth, from David's throne, for 1,000 years. And then one day King of kings and Lord of lords. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Don't lose the king in the rags now. Don't lose him there. Don't just look at a little face and say, isn't that cute? A baby. Yes, they're cute, they're sweet, they're wonderful, they're kind. But this baby's like no other baby. This baby's like no one that's ever been born before. His birth was like no other. His life was like no other. His death is like no other. His rising from the grave is like no other. His return is like no other. Jesus Christ in swaddling clothes. He looks like a poor man. He looks like just a child of another poor family. But don't lose the king in the rags. He's despised and belittled today. I'm sorry, though it's not my fault, for the political correctness of our day. I'm sorry you can't say Merry Christmas. You have to say Happy Whatever. Happy Holidays. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, there's Hanukkah for the Jewish folks, and that's fine for them. There's Kwanzaa for some folks. There's Christmas for some people. There's a lot of celebrations. The pagans have a celebration. Pagans have a celebration of the solstice of winter and those sorts of things. And so to cover everybody else, we can't say Merry Christmas anymore. We say Happy Holidays. Well, I respect a person's right to celebrate whatever they want to celebrate. But you look at me this morning. It's Merry Christmas where I come from. You understand that? I'm celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand His coming into this world to be my personal Savior is a lot more important than the celebrations of mankind. And if it's not politically correct, too bad. And don't give people in the businesses and stores a bad time because they don't respond with a Merry Christmas when you say, though this year I found more people, when I say Merry Christmas, they say Merry Christmas right back. Some of them kind of go, Merry Christmas, don't you? That sort of thing. I understand it. And I know businesses don't, and don't give them a bad time. Oh, what's the matter with you? Don't you do that. Now you leave them alone. They got a job, they got things to do and everything else, but nobody's making you be quiet. You can say Merry Christmas. That's right. Christmas is Christ sent. Happy Christ sent. That's what Merry Christmas is. And I'm happy Jesus was sent. Because He had to come the first time so He could come again. He had to come the first time in swaddling clothes so He could be my Savior and take upon Him Mike Johnson's old filthy rags and take upon Him the likeness of a serpent. And He had to do all that for me. I'm glad for that this morning. I'm thankful, but I'm not losing the king in the rags today. Not going to do it. No, no. And the blush of those innocent cheeks is the power of deity and King of Kings now. They relegate Him to just another holiday and He gets replaced by some old fat guy in a red suit, though the world loves a fat man. People get shoved aside and Jesus has to find His place, has to get permission from the ACLU to be in a public square. Look here. None of that frustrates me as much as God's people who decided they're going to be as silent as the world around them about the Savior that has come and took upon Himself the swaddling clothes. So the angels came to the shepherds that night and they said, in this day, in the city of David, is a Savior, Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. All they had to do was find that one. I guarantee you, He was the only one in town. And when they found Him, they knew what those swaddling clothes indicated. Do you this morning? Let's stand to our feet, please. What you